Sometimes starting out Christianity is kind of like, you know, I'm looking at the Camp Kilimanjaro there, and I've never been over that side of the world, that part of the world. I can only imagine that when you're at the beginning, you see the mountain ahead of you. And if you go into, I think, Jerry's room, you see the areas, the elevations change. Everything changes, and you actually begin to, you start out in a jungle. And you climb this mountain, and you've got this little lady here with a Bible. What are you doing with the Bible in the jungle? Looking for directions. We're all looking for directions. Last week we talked about directions. And the way that we get directions in general is we read the Word of God. To know the Word of God is to give us directions in life. We need them. We're lost without them. And prayer is a part of that as well. There's really a two-step part of a relationship with God. And that is getting direction from Him, general direction, spiritual direction, knowing who He is, and then staying in contact with Him. Because we will stray if we don't. We need to listen to Him and then submit to Him. And do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Staying in connection. Some of you know me by now. It's been a year. You know I'm not too politically correct. I'm not out to offend people, okay? Don't get me wrong. But people are different. I can stand 100 yards off, well, with my glasses on, and look at a man and a woman and go, there's a difference. I don't think they have to be the same. Because they're not. Sonia and I are different. When we're out and about, and I get lost, she will say, look for directions, ask for directions, stop, and ask for directions. We've heard this so many times that it has to be true. Huh? It has to be true. It's not coincidental that you hear it so many times. Men and women are different. And we could be in a mall, Sonia and I, and we could go into the mall and I can forget where the truck is. But we can come out of the mall and somebody goes, we're over here. We can be driving out of the mall and she goes, go this way. We came in over here. But get her on the freeway and she's lost. And get me on the freeway and I know north and south and east and west. I just know where they're at. Hey, we got to go west this way. And somebody goes, which way is west? Don't we go to Sioux Falls to get to Wharton, Oregon? No. So there are differences. Women, 74% of women ask for directions. 37% pull over right away. But men, you and I will spend 276 miles a year driving aimlessly around without asking for directions. Get this. Let's say that I'm new in town, and I come to you and I say, let's go to, you say, let's go to yesterday's restaurant, right, Bob? Go to yesterday's restaurant, we're going to have lunch. Okay. And I head out the door, and I get my truck, and I go to Omaha and back for lunch. Because I won't ask for directions. 25% of men wait at least a half hour. And we'll spend up to $2,500 in petrol. It's weird. But it's interesting that if you ask a man or a woman in a business, or part of a business, or in their business world, if you ask them which man, a man who asks for help, or a man who doesn't ask for help, which one is the better leader, they'll say the one who does not ask for help. Now that's weird. That's just wrong. See, a good leader knows who to go to for help. They know who's the expert. A good leader doesn't have to be an expert, but they know where to go. It's like a good president. President Reagan. surrounded himself with very, very smart people. We hope the next one does too. And you know, with us, it's kind of about control and pride. I want control. I want to take. I can do this. I can do this. You know, over the last year, and it will happen so many times because I love the Old Testament, and the Old Testament gives us a lot of themes. And one of the themes in the Old Testament is about this idea of control. Israel is supposed to be controlled by God, and then when they rebel and when they fail, they're controlled by their enemies, and they're controlled by their fear, and the enemies want control. It's about enemies and brutes and tyrants and chaos. Ultimately, Satan wants control. And you and I, in our life, we want control back. Remember the hymn? I used to think about this hymn, and I'd say, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And I go, who would put that in a hymn? That, no way. See, in my spiritual, fleshly heart for God, I don't want to leave. But in my flesh, we're always prone to wander. Always. Every one of us. There's this ungodly sense that, hey, I can do this. In fact, I don't want any help. I can do this on my own. And that's self-love and satanic. There's a wonderful story in the Old Testament. We're going to go through it a little bit here. About Joshua, who was given authority. That's a key word. He was given authority to take the Israelites into the promised land. And he tells them, only be strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law says. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. Meditate on it. Because it's living and active, and it's out of the mouth of God, and you are in connection with Him. We're going to talk about a little bit of meditation later. The book of the law shall not meditate from but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There's the piece of success, connection with the Lord. Then you remember the story. Now Jericho was shut up inside, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, with his king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, and all the men of the war going around the city once, do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear the trumpet. By the way, this is not how I would conquer a city. Would you? No, I wouldn't do it this way. But God says, we're going to do it this way. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, blow the trumpets, then all the people shall shout with a great shout. And he promises the wall of the city will come down flat, and the people shall go up, and that's exactly what happened. In connection with God, God gave him directions, the law, and meditating on it, connection with God, and he has direct connection with God, and he goes into Jericho, and it happens just like God said. Then something happens. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things, for Achan of the tribe of Judah took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Did Joshua do something wrong? No. But did he know something was done wrong? No. If you remember, Achan hid the stuff. And he didn't know. And you will see, in David's life, in Joshua's life, he will begin to ask and continue to ask for God's help. What shall we do? But he didn't do it here. This is a really wonderful picture of where we can go wrong. Joshua sent men from Mount Jacob to Ai and said to them, go up and spy out the land. That's a good thing. And the men went up and spied out Ai, and then they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not have all the people go up. Don't worry about it. We got it. But let 2,000 or 3,000 go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people go up there, for they are few. So about 3,000 men went up. Notice he didn't take the 2,000, he took the 3,000. And they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And then Joshua prayed. And then Joshua prayed. There's a couple people in the Bible when you look at Joshua and you look at Caleb and you look at Joseph, they don't do too much wrong. They're just wonderful types. But I think that maybe the Israelites, in fact, you know, took some bad advice. Hey, we can do this. I can do this. I don't need to ask for directions. I know where yesterday's is.
You made a mistake.
Joshua should have asked for directions. He should have, especially being new in the game, he should have said, Lord, am I on the right track here? Should we do the same thing? How do you want me to do it this time? In fact, God, you will find out, has a direct plan. Don't go straight up. Go around. He had a direct plan for them. Joshua didn't ask. In Mark chapter 1, you'll find that they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority. Jesus had the authority. We've gone over this several times as well. He's casting out the demons. He has authority over all of them. And then you'll find in chapter 6 that he gave them, the disciples, authority over the unclean spirits. So he's given them authority. And he's given the church, and he's given you some authority. And he's given you the authority to stand up and say, you know, this is God's word, and this is the truth. Oh, you mean there's a truth? You mean there is a right and a wrong and an absolute? Yeah, this is it. Here, let me show you. You have that authority as a believer. You are an ambassador of Christ. You have authority. Problem is, some people think, well, it's my authority. I'm going to take it upon myself, and now I can do this, and now I will do this, and now I can do it on my own. No, we cannot lose connection. It's God's authority given to us with direct connection. You ever thought about demon activity? When you look at the Old Testament, you don't see a lot of it. You see a spirit that comes and torments Saul, King Saul. And you know, one or two other little things, but you don't see a lot of demon activity. You definitely don't see any possession by demons. But by the intertestamental period, and especially the New Testament period here in Christ, it is rampant. I sometimes, these are the kind of things I like to sit back and wonder, what's going on? Is Satan kind of, oh yeah, I'm figuring this out now. I can do this. I can have my demons do this kind of wicked stuff. And it's in full swing. You saw Jesus in chapter 1 doing it. And in chapter 5, he casts out the legion. And in 7, the one that was in the girl. And there's two of them, two men who had one in chapter 8. And now we have a big demon in chapter 9 because the disciples can't get it out. They were unable. They were unable. It's important for you and me to know that we're not just using principles and just common knowledge about things. We are using very orderly and technical rules and engagements by our God and King because He knows what's going on and we don't. Do you know that angels are individuals? Michael can't be here and in Israel at the same time. He's an individual. Gabriel, when he was with Mary, he wasn't with somebody else at the same time. He's an individual.
Satan?
He's on his throne somewhere over in Smyrna or someplace. He's not worried about you or me. He's got those demons flying around, worrying about the church and those kinds of things. Do you realize that some are weaker and stronger than others? There's an orderly way that God wanted to do say things in the New Testament, in his kingdom, and he has archangels, and he has seraphims, the cherubims that we sang about this morning. Very orderly. And we can understand a little bit of that, but we sure can't understand it all, and who's in charge, and what's going on, and if there's a prince of Persia, who's the prince of America? What demon or angel do we have protecting us or hurting us? Not sure we do. Know who that is. But we can be rest assured. Satan is about his business. You see, Jesus said, this kind, that means there's different kinds. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. And some of your versions will say by fasting. Go ahead and fast. You're at war. Fasting's okay. Fasting's good. I can't do this. I can't handle this situation. I'm going to fast. Oh, God's paying attention. And then in Jude 1:6, something very interesting. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority. See, do we really know what's going on? I'm not sure we do. But God does. God does. Because he set up the order. And then the demons and Satan, they copied it. They counterfeited it. And they use it as well. We don't know what God does. Now, when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and the scribes arguing with them. Wouldn't it be neat to see this argument? What's being said? The scribes, you remember, they were the ones in chapter 1 and on down the line. They're making the law, and they're the ones who says who can do what and all this stuff. And so the scribes are coming to them. I can just kind of picture, let's just picture together what's happening. The scribes are coming, and they say, what do you guys think you're doing? Oh, we're trying to cast this demon out. And the scribes are probably laughing. Like, well, it ain't working, is it? And so they're arguing, and the disciples are saying, can you imagine what they're saying? Hey, Jesus, it was only a couple chapters ago that Jesus gave us the authority to do this. We should be able to do this. Well, why can't you? Can you get to see the confusion? And you can't blame the disciples, can you? They were given authority to do this, but they don't know everything. I'm not sure they knew that there were different kinds. You can't really blame the confusion, but at some point they got to say, time out, this is not working, and I'm not talking to the scribes about it. I need to find out what's going on. It's just like Jericho and Ai. It's like they lost connection with the headquarters. They lost the line of connection. The disciples, too, need that line of connection. There's four problems with you and me trying to keep doing this on our own. There's four problems. One, our authority is not intrinsic. It is not mine. It doesn't flow from out of me. It doesn't start with me. I'm not the head of everything. Jesus is the head of everything. We'll come back to that maybe. God placed all things under his feet, appointed to him to be head over everything, over the church. Paul says it a couple times, Christ is the head. He's the head. So our number one problem is that thing to at least remember is that Jesus is the authority, and we may have some, but we don't have it all. In fact, we don't have a lot. Number two, our power is not intrinsic. The power doesn't start with me. It isn't mine. It's God's. But as for me, I am filled with power with the Spirit of the Lord. First of all, we don't have the Spirit of the Lord. We're in difficult times. Paul says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me through the power of the Spirit. It is God who works in me. So it's His authority, His power. I'm connected. Number three, our knowledge is not sufficient. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. We don't know. We don't know things. We don't know enough. We know God, and we know the God who knows those things. How would Joshua have known that Achan sinned? I think if he asked God, before I go, is there anything I need to know? You want me to do AI or I like we did Jericho? No, I'm going to do something different. How would the disciples have known about this demon? Unless the Lord told them. The I foretold the former things long ago, my mouth announced them. And he says in 1 Corinthians 1:25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. So while we can't blame them, and we shouldn't blame them, we don't hold them responsible, but at the same time we can learn from their lesson that they needed to stay connected with Christ, and Joshua needed to stay connected with God. There's lots we don't know. And this is why I think this wonderful verse, these three wonderful words, pray without ceasing. And I often think about this because this is not me. This is not who I am. I'm not good at this. Now, I you know the gifts of the Spirit, and some have the gift of faith. They have, I think, this knowledge given them by God, this ability given them by God to see that I need to stay connected with God all the time. He's going to answer all my prayers, negative or positive. But God's going to be able to do that. So we go to that person who has the spirit of faith or the gift of faith, and we say, you know, would you think about this and meditate on this and pray about this? And we know that person is going to stay connected. But Paul is trying to get us to all stay connected through prayer. And so we're going along. It doesn't mean that he'll every word out of your mouth, but you're going along and your thoughts just turn to him. Every day, something comes up and your thoughts turn to him. I love Nehemiah. He said within himself before he went to the king, you know, he prayed to the Lord within himself. He said, help me. It's just that daily knowing I am connected with God. We have a connection. I know his ways. I know his word. I know his character. And I'm staying connected with him. He knows everything. There's some well-meaning Christians who think that God has given us the authority. He's given us the power and us the knowledge. And so we do the work. It's up to me to do it. I have it. And that's not how it is. Because once we lose connection, we're in trouble. We are to stand against the evil schemes of the devil. We are to resist him, standing firm in the faith. We're to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We're never to engage him. Because there's an order of authority there. You remember what Jude says. There's an order of authority. An order of authority. Jude says this, in the same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, rejecting authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Who are we to stand up against things we don't understand or know, or actually are given higher authority? You do know that Adam turned the keys of this world over to Satan, and Jesus Christ is going to take them back. He's going to take them back. Until then, we need to understand that we are under God's authority and we need his help. The church has been given some authority. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. A gathering of people come together. We make decisions based on Scripture and God's kindness and wisdom, and we go forward. So we've been given some authority, but we cannot lose connection. They talking about false prophets and people who are against God, who actually acted godly at some point, they have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body is supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows, and there's the key. We grow as God causes us to grow. We start in the jungle, we're going up the mountain, but we can't make it. We can't grow without knowing God, last week, staying in Scripture, and on our knees. Being a Christian is kind of like being a soldier and a bride all at once. A soldier needs a direct line to headquarters. When somebody sets up a camp, you've been established a base or a base camp, you're going into war, the first thing you do is establish communication lines. Because headquarters, they've got the big picture. We're going to attack here. They're coming from over here. We've got a reconnaissance out here. Says there's trouble over here. We've got to establish those lines of communication. The opposite is true. You want to cut the lines of the enemy. You don't want to have, you may want to know what they're doing, but you want to cut their lines so they can't communicate. It's like a bride who opens lines of communication with before they're even married. The husband and the wife to be open lines of communication, and they fumble through it. And they work through it, and they begin to know each other and find out, what would you like? Who are you? What do you want in life? The opposite is true. We cut lines of communication. We tell our young people, you need to stop talking to that person. We've got one of those situations in our family now. This young lady is just in real trouble, seeking wrong help, wrong friends. And she's in dangerous territory, and she needs to cut some lines. But with Facebook and technology and all this stuff going on, we have these issues going on, and it's very difficult for us to keep directed. We would rather be on those kinds of lines of communication instead of the one direct line with God, the one that we need. I want to mention yoga. This has been a big deal for a long time. You know what yoga is? Yoga in itself is Hinduism. It is spiritual. It is to get us to empty our minds, and we do this through breathing exercise and some of this other stuff, but they want you to empty your minds. God wants you to fill your minds. And then they want you to meditate on whatever comes or whatever. God wants you to meditate on His Word. So we fill that, and it's an exercise. The reason I mention this is because I want to talk about exercise for a second. Exercise. Look at me. I'm overdue. I need to get on the bike. But I don't have time. And Paul says, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So if I say, well, you see, have you done your daily devotions today? we almost like go into a guilt factor. Like, oh, I haven't done my daily yoga. It's not about daily yoga. It's about us being in the jungle. It's about us being in a battle. It's about us being married to the groom. And I want these communications lines to be so open that if there's something in front of me that I don't know about, He's going to tell me. And if He doesn't tell me, He's at least going to help me. He promises to. If we can get into our minds that this, yes, this is daily exercise, and yes, I don't like exercise, but if we can get it in our daily minds that this daily communication with the Lord, we're receiving from Him and just mulling over and over and over what He said to us. And then we're praying to Him, giving Him glory and honor, and then asking Him for what we need. Just ask. you could bet that you are in good connection with God. That's what prayer is all about. It's a good thing to remember. When I go out in the VPS here and I see the trees and the mountains, and so the one thing that really catches me is that little spring in the corner. A little spring of water. The kids were running around there this morning and go, "Let's jump in, we get cool," and all this stuff. And you can't because it's fake. But think about this. We were on the Colorado River between Arizona and California, and in the heat of 130 degrees, the Colorado River is running right down to the desert. It's like an oasis. That's what prayer is. That's what the prayer room is. You walk in there and you cast all your cares upon him. You tell him how much you love him and how much you appreciate him, and if you need to, how much you sin and how much you need him. What a connection with the Father. And the Father who gives good gifts to you is going to watch over you. He's going to take care of these unknowns, and there's so many of them. And we know what we can by his word, so much help from you, but the unknowns he will take care of. He promises you. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you and we thank you. I pray that each one of us now can bow our hearts to you. We're just picture our knee on the surface of the ground. We are bowed to you. We are raising our hands and thanking you and giving you worship and honor. And thanking you for being our Father. Thanking you for being our groom, Jesus Christ, being our head, being our communications, helping us be a soldier and a bride. We love you for it. Help us to be that. Help us not to be guilt-ridden because we didn't do our yoga exercises today. But Lord, that we're staying in connection with the head, the one who loves us and has everything for us, and that will help us through this journey. And we know that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we thank you for that. We love you, and I pray that you'll go with each one of us, Lord, as PBS comes, and that you just touch the workers, bless all those people who have put efforts in, and who will. We love you for it. You are a great Father in heaven, Jesus.